All right, I want to pick up where we left off in the book of Jeremiah. We left off in chapter 27, and let's just go ahead and get right into it because it's really kind of late here. But it says in this first one in chapter 27, in the beginning of the reign of Zedekiah, son of Josiah, the king of Judah, this word came to Jeremiah from the Lord, saying, thus saith the Lord to me, make for yourselves bonds and yokes, and put them on your neck, and send word to the king of Edom, to the king of Moab, to the king of the sons of Ammon, to the king of Tyre, and to the king of Sidon, by the messengers who come to Jerusalem, to Zedekiah, the king of Judah. You know, before I go any further, before I get into this message, does anybody's Bible say in that chapter 27, verse 1, in the beginning of the reign of Zedekiah, does anybody's Bible say Jehoiakim? Anybody see a translation? Okay, because here's the thing. There are some manuscripts and there are some Bibles. As a matter of fact, the King James Bible, the Living Bible, the New American Bible, and actually I even checked my Jewish Bible, the Jewish Publication Society of America Bible, and there are several other Bibles. They say Jehoiakim. Now, obviously, in this whole context, if you read the entire chapter, you see that it is in the beginning of the reign of King Zedekiah. And I just throw this out here because I do believe it's a copyist error. And if it's not a copyist error in some of these older manuscripts that they've found, the only other explanation that I could think of is that this message was given to two kings because the message definitely applied to all the kings of Judah at this particular time. But I just throw that out here because it appears a rare situation where you have an error in copying. Because, like I said, some manuscripts say Jehoiakim. You know, it can happen. It doesn't mean that this is not divinely inspired. It was most certainly divinely inspired when it was first written. But then when you're copying it over and over and over, every once in a while you'll find a mistake. It's very, very rare, but you can find them. Anyway, I'm just saying that so that if anybody's following along and they're saying, well, that's not what my Bible says, then you'll understand where I'm coming from when it says in that verse that this is the first year of King Zedekiah. But here's the thing that I think is significant about this, is that Jeremiah is told to do a very specific thing. As a matter of fact, let's just pick up that verse 2. It says, thus saith the Lord to me, make for yourself bonds and yokes and put them on your neck and send word to the king of Edom, to the king of Moab, to the king of the sons of Ammon, to the king of Tyre, and to the king of Sidon by messengers who come to Jerusalem to Zedekiah, king of Judah. Now, here's the impression I get. All these different nations like Edom and Moab and Ammon and Tyre and Sidon, they all feel threatened by Nebuchadnezzar. All these nations do. And so it appears that they're coming down there to Jerusalem to talk to King Zedekiah, to maybe form some kind of alliance to oppose the threat of Nebuchadnezzar, the threat of Babylon. But God's going to bring judgment not just upon Judah, but against all these different nations. All right, he's just going to use Nebuchadnezzar to just judge these people because of their wickedness, their idolatry, their immorality, their godlessness. He's just going to judge them. And, you know, God is going to use the Babylonians to do it, but I think it's kind of interesting that the Babylonians weren't much better, all right? And Nebuchadnezzar certainly wasn't an individual that was committed to God, but God calls him his servant here because he's going to use him as his chastening rod. And I want people to understand this. When we're going through this, even though this is way in the past, I really see this as coming into the future because there's going to come a world leader who God is going to use in a very, very dynamic way to judge the world. As a matter of fact, I don't have time to read all these different scripture verses and these different books in the Bible to talk about this coming world leader. But I know when we went through the book of Daniel, with all of his different visions and the different things that he saw and he wrote down, in Daniel chapter 7, he talks about this coming world leader when he says this. He says, I approached one of those who were standing by and began asking him the exact meaning of all this, and he told me and made known to me the interpretation of these things. These great beasts, which are four in number, are four kings who will rise from the earth, but the saints of the highest one will receive the kingdom and possess the kingdom forever and for all ages to come. Then I desired to know the exact meaning of the fourth beast, which was different from all the others, exceedingly dreadful, with his teeth of iron and his claws of bronze, which devoured and crushed and trampled down the remainder with its feet, and the meaning of the ten horns which were on his head, and the other horn which came up, and before which three of them fell, namely that horn which had eyes and a mouth uttering great boast, which was larger in appearance than his associates. And I kept looking, and that horn was waging war with the saints and overpowering them until the Ancient of Days, which is Jesus Christ, until the Ancient of Days came and judgment was passed in favor of the saints of the highest one. And the time arrived when the saints took possession of the kingdom. And thus he said to me, the fourth beast will be a fourth kingdom on the earth, which will be different from all the other kingdoms and will devour the whole earth and tread it down and crush it. As for the ten horns, out of this kingdom, ten kings will arise, and another will arise after them, and he will be different from all the previous ones, and will subdue three kings, and he will speak out against the Most High, and wear down the saints of the highest one, and he will intend to make alterations in time and law, and they will be given into his hand for a time, times, and half a time. But the court will sit for judgment, and his dominion will be taken away, annihilated, and destroyed forever. Then the sovereignty and the dominion and the greatness of all the kingdoms under the whole heaven will be given to the people of the saints of the highest one. His kingdom will be an everlasting kingdom, and all the dominions will serve and obey him. You know, that was in Daniel chapter 7. He's talking about this coming world leader upon the world. And I don't have time to read all of what Daniel says in regards to this man, but also in chapter 8, he makes reference to him in chapter 8 of Daniel, verse 11. And Daniel says, it even magnified himself to be equal with the commander of the host, and it removed the regular sacrifice from him, and the place of a sanctuary was thrown down. And on account of transgression, the host will be given over to the horn along with the regular sacrifice, and it will fling truth to the ground and perform its will and prosper. Now, the reason I'm even reading that is because this horn that he's talking about, is this horn is the coming world leader. But I wanted to just emphasize this, that God said that this world leader has to come upon the scene. Because it says in that chapter 8 of Daniel, verse 12, on account of transgression, the host will be given over to the horn. The host is all peoples will be given over to the horn. Okay, to this world leader, along with the regular sacrifice, and it will fling truth to the ground. And my point is simply this. All right, we're talking about in Jeremiah chapter 27 here about how God is going to use Nebuchadnezzar just to chastise all these different nations, including and especially Judah, for all for wickedness. But this is only a reflection of what's coming upon the world in general. And this is the way God just does things. You can see it in the past, because go back to Jeremiah chapter 27. And look at that verse 3 again. And send word to the king of Edom, to the king of Moab, to the king of the sons of Ammon, to the king of Tyre, and to the king of Sidon, by the messengers who come to Jerusalem, to Zedekiah, king of Judah. Command them to go to their master, saying, thus saith the Lord of hosts, the God of Israel, thus you shall say to your masters, I have made the earth, the men, and the beasts which are on the face of the earth by my great power and by my outstretched arm, and I will give it to the one who is pleasing in my sight. Now I have given all these lands into the hand of Nebuchadnezzar, king of Babylon, my servant, and I have given him also the wild animals of the field to serve him. In other words, God had determined, because of all these people's wickedness, he was going to just give all power over to this Nebuchadnezzar. He was going to become like a world leader, and nobody's going to be able to oppose him. And what God is basically saying is this to them: don't oppose this man, because he's my servant, and since I'm going to use him to chastise people and nations because of your wickedness. But when I'm done with this guy, when I'm done with this nation, it's going to come full circle, and then I'm going to judge them too. But it says he even gives the wild animals of the field to serve him. And in other words, he's going to have complete domination over the known world at that particular time, and including men and animals. And he says in verse 7, it says, and all the nations will serve him and his son and his grandson until the time of his own land comes. Then many nations and great kings will make him their servant. And it will be that the nation or the kingdom which will not serve him, Nebuchadnezzar, king of Babylon, and which will not put its neck under the yoke of the king of Babylon, I will punish that nation with the sword, with famine, and with pestilence, declares the Lord, until I have destroyed it by his hand. But as for you, do not listen to your prophets, your diviners, your dreamers, your soothsayers, or your sorcerers who speak to you, saying, you will not serve the king of Babylon. For they prophesy a lie to you in order to remove you far from your land, and I will drive you out, and you will perish. But the nation which will bring its neck under the yoke of the king of Babylon and serve him, I will let remain on its land, declares the Lord, and they will till it and dwell in it. I spoke words like all these to Zedekiah, king of Judah, saying, bring your necks under the yoke of the king of Babylon and serve him and his people and live. Now, before going any further, this was the message that God had given Jeremiah to give, not just Zedekiah, but to give all these different surrounding nations as well. Apparently, like I said, it appears that they were making some kind of coalition, and they had messengers down there, sent down there to Zedekiah to form an alliance against this imposing threat from Babylon. But God's just flat out telling them, look, you need to serve this man. And any nation that does not submit to this man, they're going to die by the sword and by famine and by pestilence. But if a nation basically surrenders to this man and subjects themselves to this man and becomes basically a vassal to this man, to this nation, pays taxes to him, then I'll let you live. All right, that's what God's saying. He's going to chastise all these people, right? So he said, bring your necks under the yoke of the king of Babylon. And here's the thing that people have to understand. Even though this happened centuries ago, thousands of years ago, I can see it clearly that this has a future fulfillment in the sense that this is going to happen globally. This is going to happen worldwide, where God is going to judge every nation on earth. And I just read that in Daniel. And then he says here in verse 13, why will you die, you and your people, by the sword, famine, and pestilence, as the Lord has spoken to that nation, which will not serve the king of Babylon? So do not listen to the words of the prophets who speak to you, saying, you will not serve the king of Babylon, for they prophesy a lie to you. Now here's the thing too, and I see it today. There's so many, I don't know, just pastors, ministers, priests, they're out there, and they're not preaching the word of God. They're preaching some kind of social gospel, and they're preaching a gospel that basically is saying, listen, God is love, God is compassionate, God is merciful, God wants to prosper you, God wants you to be healthy and wealthy, and God wants to bless you every which way you imaginable, and there's not going to be judgment, there's not going to be tribulation and distress and all these other things. Well, I really believe that if that's their message, then it's certainly not the message that we read of the prophets. And it's not the message that we read in the Old Testament or the New Testament. So there's always going to be people, and they're all over the place today, who are preaching a different gospel with a different spirit, a different Jesus, and a different Christ. They just are. But God hasn't changed. He's the same yesterday, he's the same today, he'll be the same tomorrow. He was the same during the Jeremiah's day, and he's the same today. And I see it very clearly that just like Nebuchadnezzar was used by God to chasten all these different nations, he's going to use this world leader. Sure, this world leader is going to be judged like you won't believe, but not until God has completely destroyed the world through this man and brought it all down. And so, you know, he's saying here, don't listen to these prophets who are telling you all is well, because in that verse 15, it says, well, back up to that verse 14 first. It says, so do not listen to the words of the prophets who speak to you, saying, you will not serve the king of Babylon, for they prophesy a lie to you. For I have not sent them, declares the Lord, but they prophesied falsely in my name, in order that I may drive you out, and that you may perish, you and the prophets who prophesy to you. Then I spoke to the priest and to all the people, saying, thus saith the Lord, do not listen to the words of your prophets who prophesy to you, saying, behold, the vessels of the Lord's house will now shortly be brought again from Babylon, for they are prophesying a lie to you. Do not listen to them. Serve the king of Babylon and live. Why should this city become a ruin? But if they are prophets, and if the word of the Lord is with them, let them now entreat the Lord of hosts that the vessels which are left in the house of the Lord and the house of the king of Judah and in Jerusalem may not go to Babylon. For thus saith the Lord of hosts concerning the pillars, concerning the sea, concerning the stands, and concerning the rest of the vessels that are left in this city, which Nebuchadnezzar king of Babylon did not take when he carried into exile Jeconiah the son of Jehoiakim king of Judah from Jerusalem to Babylon, and all the nobles of Judah and Jerusalem. Yes, thus saith the Lord of hosts, the God of Israel, concerning the vessels that are left in the house of the Lord and in the house of the king of Judah and in Jerusalem. They will be carried to Babylon, and they will be there until the day that I visit them, declares the Lord. Then I will bring them back and restore them to this place. Now, the reason I read the rest of this is because we need to get the full picture here. What's happening? Because they're having prophets cropping up now, and we got to put this in context, because if you look what happened there, they had a king Jehoiakim. He reigned 11 years. He was 25 years old when he was made king. But during his reign came the first deportation. That was in 608 BC. And that's when apparently...
of Judah, still.
Right, that's the first deportation.
The first deportation,
right.
Speaking of the northern tribes, that's not... applying here.
No. I'm talking about the southern tribes now. The northern tribes, they were carried off into exile about 150 years before this. Okay, that was under the Assyrians. This is under the Babylonians. So we're not talking about the first deportation here. It was actually in two major phases, but they're also, you know, I think in 608 there was a kind of a minor phase of deportation. But here's what really ended up happening was this King Jehoiakim. He served Nebuchadnezzar, and then he decided, well, I'm going to revolt against him. I'm no longer going to serve him. We're no longer going to pay taxes and all this other stuff. So Nebuchadnezzar, when he got word of it, he started coming down with his armies to destroy Jehoiakim. But what happened is Jehoiakim actually died of natural causes, died of something before Nebuchadnezzar got down there. And so what happened, once Jehoiakim died, his son Jehoiachin took his place, and Jehoiachin, he was only 18 years old when he took his father's place as king, and he only reigned 3 months, and by that time Nebuchadnezzar got down there to Jerusalem, and Jehoiachin just opened up the gates and surrendered. And that's when Nebuchadnezzar, he hauled off Jehoiachin to Babylon. He put Zedekiah in the place of Jehoiachin, and he also hauled off a lot of the utensils that were used in the temple itself. And what's happened now is that Zedekiah is now reigning, and then these false prophets are coming up and they're telling people, listen, all these people that were carried off to Babylon, they're going to be brought back. They're coming back, and all the utensils and all the holy vessels that were in the temple, they're going to come back too. And so that's what Jeremiah is saying here, is he's saying, if these people are really prophets, then really what they need to be praying about is that Nebuchadnezzar doesn't come down here and take all the rest of the utensils. And he talks about it right here. Look at that verse 19. For thus saith the Lord of hosts concerning the pillars. What are the pillars? I don't have that diagram up here, but remember Solomon's temple? He had two big, massive bronze pillars right there at the threshold of the temple. And one was called Boaz and one was called Jason. Well, Jeremiah is saying that he's going to be hauled off. And he also says, concerning the sea, what sea is he talking about?
The big bowl that holds water, yeah, in it, that's, I guess, on the south end of the temple?
Yeah, very good. It was the one, it was just absolutely massive. It just held thousands of gallons of water that they would use for the different levirs, but it was held up by 12 different oxen, okay, all made of brass, right? And they had, you know, three oxen facing in each direction, north, south, east, and west, and it was holding up this massive sea. It was called the Molten Sea, all right? And they fill it with water, and apparently they had spigots from it, and then they would use the smaller levers where they poured this water into it, and that's where the priest would wash. Well, this thing was just massive, and it just weighed tons. And when Nebuchadnezzar came down again, he just tore it all up. He just cut it all up and carted it away. The Molten Sea, the pillars. So in other words, these false prophets are saying, look at all these different vessels and utensils that were taken off and carried off into Babylon. They're all coming back. And Jeremiah says, hey man, if you guys are really prophets, you better pray that the rest of this doesn't go to Babylon, because that, the God said it is, all right? That's what he's talking about. That's when he says, concerning the stands and concerning the rest of the vessels which are left in the city, which Nebuchadnezzar, king of Babylon, did not take when he carried into exile Jeconiah, the son of Jehoiakim, king of Judah, from Jerusalem to Babylon, and all the nobles of Judah and Jerusalem. You know, even in the midst of judgment, look at all the judgments that we are experiencing today as far as from the hand of God. I don't care whether it's natural disasters, whether it's an economic meltdown. I don't care whether it's a crime rate. I don't care whether it's our schools just completely disintegrating in front of our eyes. This is God speaking to us. But how many people are out there, and I'm, when I talk about people, how many pastors, ministers, priests, I don't care what denomination, how many of them are saying, you know what, this is a judgment from God. Instead, it's just totally oblivious to the fact, you know what, we need to repent of our sins. You know, it go back to Chronicles where God says, if my people who are called by my name will humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, I will heal your land. We're not hearing that anymore. We just don't hear it. Right now, sure, there are some good men out there that are still trying to beat the drum, but nobody's listening to it because we're seeing a fulfillment of what Paul predicted in Timothy chapter 4. Where he said, man, people will be accumulating for themselves teachers in accordance with their own desires and will turn their ears from the truth and turn aside to myths. Well, that's what's happening. That's what happened to people back then. They didn't want to listen to Jeremiah. They wanted to listen to all these false prophets who said, hey, everything's going to be fine. Everything's hunky-dory. Everything's going to be turned around. And we're going to get these vessels back. We're going to get these people back. We're going to be prosperous, right? And God said, no, it ain't going to happen. It ain't going to happen. In that last verse, verse 22 of chapter 27 of Jeremiah, they will be carried to Babylon, and they will be there until I visit them, declares the Lord. Then I will bring them back and restore them to this place. In other words, they're going. There's no change in this. And God has a predetermined period of time that they're going to stay there because of all their wickedness. Now, anybody have anyone to add or share to that chapter? Because I really would like to go through this chapter 28, because the two go hand in hand. The two should actually be read together, because we're talking about these false prophets. But begin with the first one of chapter 28 of Jeremiah. It says, now in the same year, in the beginning of the reign of Zedekiah, king of Judah, in the fourth year, in the fifth month, Hananiah, the son of Azor, the prophet who was from Gibeon, spoke to me in the house of the Lord, in the presence of the priests and all the people, saying, thus saith the Lord of hosts, the God of Israel, I have broken the yoke of the king of Babylon. Within 2 years I'm going to bring back to this place all the vessels of the Lord's house, which Nebuchadnezzar, king of Babylon, took away from this place and carried to Babylon. I am also going to bring back to this place Jeconiah, the son of Jehoiakim, king of Judah, and all the exiles of Judah who went to Babylon, declares the Lord, for I will break the yoke of the king of Babylon. Then the prophet Jeremiah spoke to the prophet Hananiah in the presence of the priest and in the presence of all the people who were standing in the house of the Lord. And the prophet Jeremiah said, amen. May the Lord do so. May the Lord confirm your words which you have prophesied to bring back the vessels of the Lord's house and all the exiles from Babylon to this place. Yet hear now this word which I am about to speak in your hearing and in the hearing of all the people. The prophets who were before me and before you from ancient times prophesied against many lands and against great kingdoms of war and of calamity and of pestilence. The prophet who prophesies of peace, when the word of the prophet comes to pass, then that prophet will be known as one whom the Lord has truly sent. Then Hananiah the prophet took the yoke from the neck of Jeremiah the prophet and broke it. Hananiah spoke in the presence of all the people, saying, thus saith the Lord, even so I will break within 2 full years the yoke of Nebuchadnezzar king of Babylon from the neck of all the nations. Then the prophet Jeremiah went his way. The word of the Lord came to Jeremiah after Hananiah the prophet had broken the yoke off the neck of the prophet Jeremiah, saying, go and speak to Hananiah, saying, thus saith the Lord, you have broken the yokes of wood, but you have made instead them yokes of iron. For thus saith the Lord of hosts, the God of Israel, I have put a yoke of iron on the neck of all these nations, that they may serve Nebuchadnezzar king of Babylon, and they will serve him, and I have also given him the beast of the field. Then Jeremiah the prophet said to Hananiah the prophet, listen now, Hananiah, the Lord has not sent you, and you have made this people trust in a lie. Therefore, thus saith the Lord, behold, I am about to remove you from the face of the earth. This year you are going to die, because you have counseled rebellion against the Lord. So Hananiah the prophet died in the same year, in the seventh month. Now, I had to read this whole chapter through because I didn't want to break it up. There's 17 verses, but we have to see what's happening here. Is that they had this false prophet, Hananiah. And now, just get this picture. Hananiah is there in the court of Zedekiah, it appears. Okay, in the court of the king. And he's got all these different people around, all these dignitaries and all of these servants and all of these other people that are there. And Jeremiah's there, and he's got this wooden yoke around his neck as a basically a living testimony of what's going to happen to, you know, all these nations. They're going to come under the yoke of Nebuchadnezzar. But they got this Hananiah here, and he's coming out and saying to everybody, in 2 full years, what's going to happen is that God is going to break the yoke of Nebuchadnezzar off of our necks, and then everybody that was hauled off in that deportation is going to come back, along with all the vessels that were taken from the house of the Lord. Okay? Now, that's what he's saying. But start with that verse 5 in that chapter 28 of Jeremiah. It says, then the prophet Jeremiah spoke to the prophet Hananiah in the presence of the priest and in the presence of all the people who were standing in the house of the Lord. I'm sorry, this is the house of the Lord. This isn't the court of the king. Apparently, it's right there where everybody's gathered, right there outside the temple. But he's saying, in the presence of all the people who were standing in the house of the Lord, and the prophet Jeremiah said, amen. Now, what does amen mean?
May it be as you say.
Yeah, I mean, it means so be it. In other words, this is a solemn ratification. In other words, Jeremiah is saying, man, so be it. I hope you're right. Right? That kind of thing. But then he says, may the Lord do so. May the Lord confirm your words, which you have prophesied, to bring back the vessels of the Lord's house and all the exiles from Babylon to this place. Yet hear now the word which I'm about to speak in your hearing and in the hearings of all the people. And then he goes on to just simply saying that God has used prophet after prophet in the past to predict wars and to predict, calamity and pestilence. And all these things came to pass. And very often that could be, you know, when a prophet prophesies these things, you could rest assured that it was the Lord who sent them. But then look what this Hananiah does. This guy's pretty dramatic, right? And he says in that verse 10 there, then Hananiah the prophet took the yoke from the neck of Jeremiah the prophet and broke it. And Hananiah spoke in the presence of all the people, saying, thus saith the Lord, even so I will break within 2 full years the yoke of Nebuchadnezzar, king of Babylon, from the neck of all the nations. Then the prophet Jeremiah went away. Now, this guy, Hananiah, he's just one in a whole endless litany, a line of false prophets. And I'm telling you, I remember sharing this, I think it was last week, about this guy, Harold Camping. And I'm only going to mention him again. You know, I don't usually like to use people's names, but this guy is a false prophet. I was sharing last week that this is the 11th time now he set a date in terms of the end of the world. Now, this is today's paper. This is the San Francisco Chronicle, front page, above the fold. They got his picture here about what he says is going to happen in regards to the end of the world. He says it's going to start over there in New Zealand, and it's going to work its way over here, and it's going to hit, the California coast at 6 p.m. Saturday, May 21st, all right? And now you got all these different atheists who are going to throw a big party, right? I mean, this is what the paper's saying. I mean, this guy has really, really put his neck out. I'm not kidding you. Now, here's my point. This guy is a false prophet. But what this guy is doing, he's sinning presumptuously, because Christ said nobody knows the day or the hour. And you read his literature, and what he's done is he's concocted this code that's based on the fact that, well, he goes all the way back to the Noahian flood. When that flood started, then he calculated somehow so many thousands of days from that to come up to May 21st, 2011. That's going to be the end of the world. Well, unfortunately, you've got thousands of people that are putting their faith in this man. You know, I just got a letter from somebody who used to be part of this Bible study a number of years ago. And he's told me that the end of the world is coming May 21st, right? and he sent me a letter. As a matter of fact, I wrote him a letter today, right? Sent me.
Come here, but he wasn't listening to you, John.
Well, he hasn't been here a long time, all right? But I got a letter in the mail from him. He sent me all this literature about Harold Camping. And he says, I got to listen to Family Radio. I wrote him a letter this morning. I'm sending it off tomorrow. But I just feel bad that these people get so duped by these false prophets that are running all around us, right? And this guy here, this Harold Camping, he's got a radio broadcast. I think it broadcasts in like 48 different languages around the world, basically. And people are falling for it. And these people are they're not retarded. Here's a retired engineer. $140,000 of his own money to help pay for this ad here, or whatever.
Right? They are retarded. They're spiritually retarded.
Yeah, right, right. They are. And see what's happening now. When these fools set dates, they're like the Aesop fable about the boy who cried wolf. You know, he's always crying wolf, and everybody comes to his defense, and he thinks it's a big joke. He thinks it's all funny and fun and games. And till finally, one time he yells wolf, cries wolf, and nobody pays any attention to him. I think it's just more of his shenanigans. And he's devoured by the wolf, right? Well, what's happening here is people like Camping, people like Jehovah Witnesses, and all these other people who set dates, what they're really doing is making a mockery about the second coming of Christ. People just ought to know better. I remember over a dozen years ago, there was this renegade Catholic priest who broke away from the Catholic faith, and he started his own church called the Church of the Ten Commandments or something like that, and he convinced everybody that Jesus Christ was going to return at midnight, the last day of 1999. In other words, the beginning of the year 2000. All right, so everybody sold their possessions, they sold their money, they gave it to this guy, they gave it to his church, and they gave all their money to the church, and everybody just waited for the Lord to return. And the Lord didn't return. And then people were getting antsy. They wanted their money back. They wanted their possessions back. And then all these people, 900 people, ended up being killed, being murdered by this guy and his followers. And I'm not talking about Jonestown now, and I'm not talking about Jim Jones. He's another kook. But I think, you know what? These people who ended up losing their lives, they only have themselves to blame. All right, sure, you could blame it on these stupid people who are false prophets, but if people would take serious God's word, they shouldn't be misled, because Jesus said nobody knows the day or the hour. Now, I know I've been all over the map here, but I'm just talking about, we're talking about false prophets. This man, through his disobedience, is causing people to stumble, and is causing people to blaspheme God's name. That's all there is to it, all right? And just, nothing's changed. That's why I brought this in and tying it in with this Hananiah. Hananiah is giving people false hope. He's telling them a lie, right? And people want to believe this guy. And in the end, they're really going to not only be misled, but they're going to lose their lives in this situation with Hananiah. And we're reading about in Jeremiah, because they just will not listen to God's true prophet. So now they're really going to suffer the consequences. But look at that.
The thing about the boy who cried wolf.
Yeah.
Aesop.
Yeah.
I think his birthday was several weeks after Zedekiah's birthday. They lived at the exact same time.
Okay, well, I didn't know that. There we go. You're full of useless trivia, aren't you?
Yes, I am.
Okay, well, thanks for that. Heads up, man. Okay, anyway, back up to that verse 11. We'll just wind this down. I know we're running late here. It says, Hananiah spoke in the presence of all the people, saying, thus saith the Lord, even so I will break within 2 full years the yoke of Nebuchadnezzar, king of Babylon, from the neck of all the nations. Then the prophet Jeremiah went away. You know, Jeremiah wasn't going to give him the time of day. He just figured, okay, this is what these people want to believe. All right. I mean, you just put yourself in this crowd. Here it is, Jeremiah, all by himself, saying, "Amen. God's going to destroy this temple. Everything's going to be carted away. You people are going into exile. You know, all these terrible things are going to come upon you." And then you got this other guy over here. He takes that wooden yoke off of Jeremiah's neck, and he breaks it in front of everybody, being really melodramatic. And he says, "In 2 years, 2 full years, all this stuff's going to be returned." Now, if you're in that crowd, who do you want to believe?
Want to believe the good news.
Yeah, it is. There it is. Nobody wants to believe the bad news, right? All right? Well, that's where we're at today. People are accumulating for themselves teachers in accordance with their own desires. That's all there is to it. And then in verse 12 it says, the word of the Lord came to Jeremiah after Hananiah the prophet had broken the yoke off the neck of the prophet Jeremiah, saying, go and speak to Hananiah. Thus saith the Lord, you have broken yokes of wood, but you have made instead them yokes of iron. You know, there's no getting out of this now. You're not going to break this, all right? And verse 14, for thus saith the Lord of hosts, the God of Israel, I have put a yoke of iron on the neck of all these nations, that they may serve Nebuchadnezzar, king of Babylon. And they will serve him, and I have also given him the beast of the field. In other words, he's going to be sole ruler. He's going to be a world leader, basically, a world ruler. And verse 15, then Jeremiah the prophet said to Hananiah the prophet, listen now, Hananiah, the Lord has not sent you, and you have made this people trust a lie. All right, I'm just going to flat out, and I'm not a prophet, I'm just telling you right now, God has not sent this Harold Camping man. He's not sent this man. They're all over the place today. People need to just read their Bible, man. And I'm telling you, it was Paul who said, you know, that the Christians at Berea were much more nobler than the Christians at Thessalonica, because he said when he went to Berea to tell them about Jesus Christ and proclaim the word of salvation to them, these people in Berea, they didn't just blow him off and say, well, this guy's full of baloney. And at the same time, they were not gullible. It says that they took their Bibles home, their parchments home, they checked it out, they double-checked it for themselves, all right, to say, you know what, doggone it, Paul's right, man. This is what it said about Jesus Christ. This is what it said in Isaiah 53. This is what it says in Psalm 22. This is what it said here. This is what it said there. That guy's right. You see, God doesn't put a premium on being gullible, believe me. And he doesn't put a premium on people who are just going to be obstinate. It's people who will take the time to investigate the truth. And so when you're seeing this guy here, God's going to bring a judgment on this Hananiah, because he made people trust a lie. Right? Look at that verse 16. Therefore thus saith the Lord, behold, I am about to remove you from the face of the earth. This year you are going to die, because you have counseled rebellion against the Lord. Wow. That's quite a judgment. God's just going to do him in this year. All right? The only upside for this guy is that he's going to be dead a whole year before people are going to be able to determine that he was a liar. You know what I mean? And so Hananiah the prophet died in the same year in the seventh month. I just want to close on that note, but I'm saying, you know what? The more things change, the more they remain the same. You know, we've heard that old adage, right? And nothing's changed. Centuries go by, thousands of years go by, and still, well, what are we seeing? We're seeing it happening all over again. You know, history repeating itself. Anybody have anyone to share?